Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Football on off the ball.
Because a game of opinions, especially bad opinions, I was kind of got to that stage where I was like, no one, I don't want anyone to have ownership or say over me ever again. And that's why I walked away from the game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Reese McLennigan, this is your happy place, I think it's fair to say, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. This is the place on earth where I feel most comfortable, my gymnastics gym.
When did you first set foot here? Because it wasn't the only gym where you managed to discover your own talents as a gymnast.
Well, this gym in particular, it's my coach's gym. It's where I prepared for the Paris Olympic Games. It's where I've seen the trickle-down legacy of my gymnastics career with the younger gymnasts starting, with the coaches coming through, knowledge being passed down.
There's a great story that you have and a great memory where you sort of unveil the routine for Paris in this place with the next generation of gymnasts of Newton Arts.
I would have killed to see an Olympian preparing for an Olympic Games. So it was a real honour to be able to, first of all, put myself under pressure and prepare myself for the pressure of the Olympic Games, but also for the younger generation to just see what it looks like to prepare to try and win an Olympic gold medal. We knew what we were capable of, and we were almost saying to them, you know, if it goes to plan here, it goes to plan at the Olympic Games, and it went to plan every time we performed that routine. But I remember leaving those days feeling like I'd already won. You know, if everything didn't go to plan at the Olympic Games, everything at least went to plan on that day, and that would be a memory that I would remember for the rest of my life.
Which is why your story is extraordinary, and managing to break through and become a historically successful gymnast for this country. When did you first realise you had that opportunity to do something special and to do something different?
I remember when I was about 16 years old, I was scoring just behind the best guys in the world. And I remember at those competitions thinking, like, oh, if I just add those couple of 0.1s, 0.3 onto my outcome score, then I'm right up there with those guys. So I could see a clear path of me becoming the best in the world, even at the age of 16.
How I first met Reese was back in 2014. I had just recently moved back from England. That time was perfect because Reese was looking for a coach to be serious and to try and bring him forward in a performance point of view. He was clearly very talented, but he was very rough around the edges because he was lacking that program from before. Then it's very, very important to have a foundation and a basics within gymnastics.
We had heard that Luke Carson had retired due to injury, unfortunately for him, and was moving down to Bangor to start coaching. a decision had to be made about who was going to coach Rhys. His childhood coach, who he had had since he was seven, was moving to England. There was really no coaches, either had the experience or the qualifications to take Rhys. I emailed Luke and we set up a meeting. In that meeting, Luke at one stage said that he thought Rhys could be the best in the world. We're on board with that. You know, we believe it too. And Rhys needs to believe it. I just thought, well, if you think he can be the best in the world, here you go.
He could do cool tricks and he could do cool skills, but the basics was completely gone. I had to hold him back quite a lot for that first year. I always just imagined him on like a big leash that he just wanted to go at the world and showcase everything he could do. But my goal, I knew long term for success, we had to work on that foundation. So that first part was all about working on the basics of gymnastics, because I knew once that was conquered, all the skills in the world could come.
Myself and Luke were very ambitious from the get-go. Since I started working with him at the age of 14, we were straight away saying to each other openly, how can we be world champions? How can we get that Olympic gold medal?
He shared the intensity that I had as a coach. He had that intensity and that passion for wanting to maximise his potential. And so we had that common goal to be able to work towards.
Luke kind of stripped his gymnastics right back, as it were, and almost began again with fundamentals and built it up. And it didn't take long, because by the age of 18, he won the Commonwealth Games, beat the reigning Olympic and world champion. So from 14 to 18, that's how long it took Luke to basically mould him into a high performance athlete.
As soon as I started working with Luke, my progress went through the roof. I had somebody in my corner saying they believe just as much as I do.
Lots of people around us didn't necessarily understand our ambition. It was scary, but at the same time, it's what drove us in training. It almost held us accountable, us speaking those words out loud. We were bold enough to sit back and say, no, we want the top spot. We want the Olympic gold medal.
I think we had in our mind that he would be good at gymnastics. My husband's sister had done gymnastics up to like a national level. And people kept saying to us, oh, you need to take him to gymnastics, take him to gymnastics. But he was a crazy child and he just didn't listen. I was never able to take my eyes off him. So, I mean, some of the things he did at that age, it would make your blood boil, honestly. I mean, he never crawled. He just stood up and, I always say, he just stood up and ran. He actually never walked either. He just stood up and he ran at about 8 months old, and that was it. He was a difficult child at that age.
I wouldn't say he was hard work, but he was fun to chase about. And when we first tried to get him to ride a bike into the driveway, set him off, and that was him. Just give him a wee push. Away you went. No problem.
He was literally climbing out of the cot from a very young age and dropping down onto the floor and just laughing. He thought it was hilarious, you know, when he shouldn't have been doing things like that.
There was no picking him up for a couple of times or, you know, explaining to him what he had to do. Pushed him, started pedaling, away he went.
He went to a day nursery and they said he was the only baby that was able to crawl out of their cots. They had like a mesh side, so there was nothing even to get a purchase on. He was just like Spider-Man.
We had a wee quad motorbike and we put him on at the top of the street. Forgot to let go of the button that drives it forward and off he went, skidding off the end of the driveway and the next door neighbour's garden, which was about 4 foot deeper.
Nobody would mind him. I mean, even his grandparents wouldn't babysit him. Because every time anybody babysat him, they would be on the phone to say, oh, Rhys has fallen again, you know, or he has stitches again.
The screams off and I went running for him, but he was fine, as usual, he was fine. Just laughed it off and carried on.
I had to ban him from doing double somersaults on the trampoline. This is before he even went to gymnastics. I had to say, look, but double somersaults are not a good idea. You know, and his reply would have been, well, what about twisting ones? Can I do twisting ones? You know, that was the sort of kid he was.
Just one of them boys. He's one of them guys, you know, the annoying one. Yeah, that's him.
We had a pommel horse His dad was overworking in Bangor, and I think they were clearing an old school, and they had some gym equipment sitting out ready to take away, to throw away.
I was working close by, and I could see it out in the car park. See if I can find somebody who owns it, and we'll ask them, do they really want it? Because you could see everything being piled up and almost ready for it to go over to the skip. So we went over anyway, and I asked the foreman. He says, yeah, go and see Archie round there. Couldn't find Archie. Put it in the back of the van. Told the foreman, I've seen Archie. He says, take it. We headed on home with it.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
So we brought home a pommel horse. The pommel horse was a big hit in the garden, you know, over and over again. He would just practice on the pommel horse. So that's how it all began.
Just couldn't believe he had his own pommel horse. So he was really grateful.
The first time he walked into a gymnastics gym, I suppose it's like a child walking into Disney World. His face just lit up when he walked into that gym. And he would tell you himself, he walks into the gym and just gets that like butterfly excitement in his stomach. I honestly think he still gets it now. On the gym wall, they would have had a list of, you know, records. Who did the most press-ups and who did the most chin-ups and who did the most circles on the mushroom. And like, he always wanted to be top of the list. He was fiercely competitive. I remember when he was about 8, going back and forward to training probably about 4 times a week. And at that stage, he was doing gymnastics 4 times a week, and he was doing football maybe a couple of nights a week, and he was doing swimming. So he was in the back of the car and he just said to me, I think I need to stop the football training and the swimming now because the other boys are in the gym and I don't want them to get better than me. I want to be in the gym. That's what I want to do. So from my perspective as a parent, it was really nice that it was his decision. At that early age, he basically decided that gymnastics was the sport for him.
The moments before I compete, it's a scary feeling. You're in a different country, a different environment. Everything is unfamiliar. Then as soon as I set my hands on the handle, that's when I feel at home. That's when certainty comes back into play. That's when I'm most calm. I feel like it's something that pulls you in, wanting to push the limits of your physical being. And all of that was the draw for me, was the draw to go back for more every time.
Tokyo and what happened there was something that you dealt with very, very well. It might not have been easy, but I suspect in hindsight you did everything in your power to deal with that as well as you possibly could.
I feel like I did, and I feel like there's the evidence there to prove that I did do good in adjusting after the Tokyo Olympics.
The Tokyo Olympics was amazing, but it was just a different environment. It was in the midst of the COVID pandemic, and you weren't allowed to talk to anybody. You weren't allowed to speak to other nations. You had to wear your mask. You were told if you were photographed without masks, you were sent home, and you were tested every single day, and if it came up positive, you were deported. It was a different environment altogether.
Reese's build-up for Tokyo was going remarkably well, and he had a huge amount of positivity going up to it, and everything mentally was really, really good. Physically, Reese was really, really good.
Reese was on fire. You know, he was in the best physical and mental state that I'd ever seen him. He was in incredible shape.
He did his routine that he would normally do in heats, which is slightly simpler than the one he would do in finals, and everything went exactly to plan.
His success rate was out of this world, more than any other athlete that I'd ever known in gymnastics, and I know that for a matter of fact because I speak a lot with high performance coaches and I know the general success rates. Reese's was a complete outlier. It was phenomenally high.
Everything was going great with the build-up, and the routine looked good and he looked good. Yeah, it was perfect.
He had qualified in first position. We're on track, the plan's working. And then...
Almost when he just started off, we could just see him make a tiniest wee hand mistake, and we knew it was sort of over. We just seen it happening in front of us, just couldn't believe it.
It came to his performance in the final, and his hand slipped on my handle, and the whole world around us came crumbling down as he did on the pommel horse, and that was extremely difficult.
His finger was just a millimetre out where it should have been. And once that happens, you can't recover from it on pommel horse because your continuous momentum, you can't stop to adjust. So you could see where his finger went wrong. He just fell.
All the hard work came to an end. Just couldn't believe it. Desperate. Couldn't believe it.
Just felt unjust. Because of the success rate, because of the data that was there saying the outcome is going to be good.
My heart just broke for about 3 or 4 minutes. And then I watched his interview on RTE after, and I knew Stuart straight away was okay. I knew straight away, right, okay. He's fine, he's coming back from this, that's fine. He wanted to go back into the practice gym and redo the routine, and he did. We always said to Reese, every setback's the opportunity for a comeback, so that's what he did.
Gymnastics is such an individual sport. It is high stakes, high pressure. You have one opportunity, a lifetime of hard work. All of that for 46 seconds. One finger placement can alter the outcome completely. But I think that's what draws people to the sport. It's a certain caliber of person that thrives on that.
In life, there's going to be inevitable challenges. There's going to be really, really difficult days beyond what you could even imagine. But then in those difficult days, there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity to become more motivated and more determined than you have ever been before in your life. When I look back at the Tokyo Olympics, I can say that there's never been a day where I've been more motivated than that day. Even in the worst days of your life, there's still an opportunity there.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Dealing with failure is difficult at times. It's just every part of your body wants the outcome that you know is possible, because it's not all sunshines and rainbows all the way, especially not in performance sports. It's difficult, it really is, and you have to make sure that you stay grounded on the journey that you're on and you don't lose sight of that, and we learn from it. That's the key to dealing with failure. That experience made us insanely strong for Paris.
Have you ever felt a sense of failure?
Most certainly. Every day in training.
Every day in training?
Every single day. Never one day I've come into the gymnastics gym and say 100% success rate. If I was doing that, I'm not pushing hard enough. I'm not aiming high enough. Every single day I feel it's something I'm very used to. And yeah, I'm okay with saying that's a failure on that day, but inevitably it's going to be a success. I was wanting that comeback story, and for that to happen, I first of all needed to qualify to the Paris Olympic Games. So when I came to the Paris World Cup in 2023, it was just the competition before my Olympic qualifiers. I knew that I was in the arena that the Paris Olympic Games would be. I was competing against the current Olympic champion. I was competing against the other guys that were really up there as the best in the world. And I think because I was focusing on my competitors, it was really taken away from my real focus, which should have been my gymnastics, what I could do best. I remember just feeling in my hotel room, even on the day of the competition, feeling more nervous than I've ever felt before. I felt sick to my stomach. When I went into the competition arena to warm up, I was sweating before it even warmed up. I felt emotional, tears were welling up in my eyes, and I just didn't want to compete. That's how powerful those emotions were in that moment, and I've never felt like that before in my life. I'm normally the guy who's really calm and collected on a competition day, but for that day, I just wasn't in the right headspace. Even after that routine that I competed and performed successfully, I just wasn't happy. I really was still nervous even after the routine. And that showed to me that my mind wasn't even on that routine. It wasn't on my gymnastics at all. It was on my competitors.
What was the first thing you did to overcome that?
Talk to people. So talk to my coach, talk to my psychologist. We needed to figure out what was going on in my head before we tried to tackle that Olympic qualification.
When you say figuring out what's in your head, how do you go about excavating that?
Things like focusing on my competitors, focusing on things that weren't even in my control, like scores, like positions on the podium. What I really needed to focus on was myself, what I could control, and that was my training, my preparation, and how I compete on the day. I said this straight after my qualifications in Paris Olympic Games. I qualified in first position, I got the job done, made it into the finals, because you know that's sometimes the hardest job is doing that. If you're trying to beat that person who's the best in the world, you might actually be setting a standard lower than one that you're capable of. So why not aim past them? Like, they even push them to the side and make them irrelevant. What's your standard? What's the highest you could possibly score? What's the best you could possibly be? I feel like that's what I started to do after that chaotic competition. When it even came to those Olympic qualifiers, I didn't look at any routines. I didn't look at anybody training beside me. I had my back to the pommel horse the entire time. But all of that was just blurred out noise for me. I didn't see any of it. I didn't hear about any of it. Pick your moments to watch your competition. The day to do that is not on the day of a competition. When my time came to perform my routine, I just done my job. And thankfully it was good enough to clinch my second world title and then qualify me to the Paris Olympics.
So the day of the Olympic final, I must admit there was a real calm mood about the place between Reese and I. We do everything as normal. So we'd go have our morning coffee, we'd go to the food hall, we'd have our breakfast. We talk about random things rather than, you know, it's not about bringing attention to what's obviously going to happen hours later, but it's just about, I don't know, an episode of The Office or something funny that we had seen throughout the Olympic Village. And it's just about reminding ourselves that it's another day, it's another routine. It's the same pommel horse that he's been working on for the last 5-10 years. There is no difference to this day than any other day.
although the run-up was really, really good and everything went well, I'm going to be completely honest and say at the back of my mind, I was still thinking a little bit about Tokyo. And that's just being completely truthful about it. And at the same time, I was really, really hoping that Rhys wasn't thinking about Tokyo at the back of his mind. As it sort of got closer to it, we realised what a high level of pommel final it was going to be, because I was looking at the entries and kind of counting and knowing all those gymnasts ourselves from the years sort of leading up to it, knowing who could be scoring over 15. And I think I counted 10, maybe 10 gymnasts who could score over 15. And over 15 was realistically going to be an Olympic medal.
The caliber of gymnast was insanely high. It was the highest standard pommel final ever recorded. So pretty much anyone in that final could have won it. We knew that. That's the stats. That's a probability of being in an Olympic final.
There's no way anybody can get a 10 in execution. You just can't, because they're so fussy with what the gymnasts do. So Rhys on occasions gets 9.1 for execution, which is almost unheard of to get near a 9. So a lot of them would be getting 8, 8.1, 8.2. So the gymnast who went first from Kazakhstan, Narman Kurbanov, he scored 15.4 and made me gasp, I have to say, because I wasn't expecting it. It was a really high score.
Well, do you know what? See, when the Kazakhstani guy went up, I thought, and the score he got, I thought, because he wasn't on the radar, the Kazakhstani guy. And I thought, I just turned to Tracy and I said, we could be in trouble here. Because we knew about the rest of them, Max Whitlock and everybody else. But when he got that score, I thought, goodness sake, why didn't we see this?
It wasn't simply put as just, let's be Olympic champion today. It was just perform another routine today, as good as you can, as good as you've done 300 times in the last year already. And so my last words to Rhys were, today's the battle of the wits. That whole day was about just keeping his calm and performing like he did every other day.
I'd already made it to the top of the mountain. Now it was time to just do it once more. Reap the rewards from that.
Rhys needed to do his most difficult routine. I just knew that it was going to be really, really close.
It's another day, it's another routine.
The amount of hard work and dedication I put in through my whole life up until that point, the driving force behind all of the hours that I put into this, all of the sacrifices I make throughout the years, when a moment pays off. The emotions are indescribable. I'm jumping between tears, laughter.
We couldn't sit still and we're so excited about the whole thing. Absolutely class.
Oh, it's just like a release.
Oh, it was amazing.
I'm not relieved that he's won, because that in some ways is irrelevant. We can't control what all the other gymnasts in the final are going to do. We are only concerned with what Rhys can do. And if he does a routine that we know is his best and we can see that he's really happy with it, then we're happy. Do you want me to tell you the score?
You remember it.
15.50, isn't that right?
I was almost throughout the years making a case for myself. I was trying to convince people what was genuinely possible. I said from very early on in my career that I'm not just wanting to take part in these competitions, I'm wanting to win them. And I was saying that to build excitement behind the sport of gymnastics that I love so much and really get people involved into this. I was saying to them, you know, this can actually happen. I'm convinced that I can be the best in the world, that I can go and win these championships that nobody has ever won before from Ireland.
Have you comprehended being an Olympic champion?
Just about. Just about.
Is there something that gives you that sort of fear now or that sort of excitement now?
I guess doing it again, winning world championships again, winning Olympic Games again, that kind of gives me that same fear or excitement. I know that it's a challenge bigger than anybody's ever accomplished in this sport, which is, again, that's super exciting, but it's a task that I'm up to, at least trying for.
This is something obviously that's going to spill right into your life post actually performing in gymnastics. I was going to say post-gymnastics, but I suspect your life after you retire is going to involve gymnastics. Have you considered what that point is? I hate asking that question because you've got a couple of more Olympic Games left in you, I'm sure. But you seem like the sort of person who's thinking big picture all the time.
I don't know that answer yet. I think it's okay for me to sit here and admit that. It's something that I'm constantly working on. I'd love to be involved in the sport of gymnastics in some regard, whether that just be hobby, helping out younger gymnasts, younger coaches, or it might be my entire career. I might stay in this sport until the day I'm on my back. We're in a very exciting time of Irish sport where athletes aren't scared to say, I want to be the best in the world. I want to go there and win an Olympic gold medal. People are saying it more and more, and I feel like that's the tides are changing. People are now realizing the power of speaking out your goals out loud and almost holding yourself accountable to that. People are seeing the confident talk, the confident self-talk working. We just had our most successful Olympic Games ever, and I'd say every one of us Olympic medalists from those Paris Games would have been saying before, we're going there to win a medal. It shows that it works. It shows that kind of mentality works. I think it's a brilliant thing for young Irish gymnasts to finally see that this is possible.
It seems like you've gone up there, enjoyed the view, and you're ready to scale again. It seems like you've handled it brilliantly.
Yeah, I got up there and saw a bigger mountain and thought, yeah, I want to go to that one.
To get better from now winning every major title in the sport, which Rhys has, it's about, I think, my opinion, concreting Rhys as the greatest pommel worker of all time. It's how many times have they won X, Y, and Z, and let's see if we can beat that. That excites me.
Sometimes I walk around and just think of what he's achieved so far, and I just shake my head in disbelief. That's the truth. I hope that he can find the motivation just to do whatever makes him happy now. And whatever that is, whether it's in sport or not in sport, I'm okay with it, because that has always been the goal, is for him to be happy.
What do we hope for him for the future? Just to keep on going for as long as he feels happy doing what he's doing. As long as he's happy doing what he's doing, we're happy to follow him and support him. Oh, super proud. Super proud. Yeah, bursting with pride.
It's not just what your child achieves, I think, that's important. I think it's the person that they become in how they're achieving it. It's the person that they become that you're most proud of. And we're very proud of Rhys and Elliot.
It is quite a pressured situation I'm in now, but that's what pushes me every day in training. People nipping at my heels, people performing some of the best routines in the world out there, and me watching them, you know, that gives me fuel every single day going into training, knowing that there's other people trying to take my top spot. That's what really motivates me. It's scary, it's frightening to know that people are trying to take things away from me, but at the same time, it's just as scary and frightening as trying to attain them in the first place. I'll never be in the sport just to be in the sport. There's no two ways about that. That is forever going to be my motivation to be in gymnastics. I want to win gold medals. If I'm competing, I'm going there to win.